Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Monday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 2 is always sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member FDIC. Location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And Shindaddy to Monday?
Shindaddy is out today. He has been whisked down to Austin, Texas. He's helping with the cleanup.
What
he's
cleanup?
With on the field.
Oh.
He's helping with the field cleanup.
Is
with
he some, really?
Yeah, he's down there and talking to the custodial crew, helping clean up from all the beer cans and stuff that got thrown on the field.
After the call. The call. Yeah. That angered Kirby quite a bit. And Kirby went off,
and he should be angered on that. Yes,
really.
Yeah, a precedent has been set. If your fans freak out, that maybe they'll change the call.
And that's what Kirby said. Yeah. He termed it as a he called it a robbery.
Right. Yeah, a robbery.
He didn't hold back.
Yeah, it was a play you can't review. It was a non-reviewable play, but they did.
Boy, Kirby, how about Kirby's dogs?
Yeah,
the dogs got after.
Dogs got after him.
They were fired up.
Yeah. He said, "We came here to eat."
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kirby. Thanks to Shindaddy and Midwest Bank. Okay, I got a text during the first hour, which kind of, it's people are angry right now, as they should be after that game. This is a text from long-term listeners.
Ben's angry.
Ben, look at Ben.
Oh, Ben is pissed.
Ben's had a take every segment we had. We're getting a lot of texts from
him. We can't shut him off today.
No, we can't. Let him eat.
All right.
Here's a text from Jason, long-time listener Jason.
Jason.
Says, guys, good morning. No other major college football program gets less bang for its buck than Nebraska. K-State, ISU, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and so on go to bowl games, pull upsets, overall over the last many years. Nebraska does not beat ranked teams, doesn't go to bowl games, gets pushed around over the last several years in high and low profile games. Our gleaming country club facilities don't help. Good thing we're paying Rule $9 million. Not impressed. Thanks. That's from Jason.
They're 5-2. I mean, it's not a total.
Take one step back. There are 5-2. They're 5-2.
Right. I mean, this is a bad loss, and that's part of the damage of losing 56-7. Is there's the reaction is going to be horrible, and it's going to be a sky's falling mentality, and it doesn't help that you have to play Ohio State next. So again, they're taking on water right now, but there's a lot of season left. Like I read your rundown, and due respect, Jake, the question that we're going to address is Indiana's success story is proof that quick turnarounds can happen, which is absolutely the case. So where is Nebraska getting it wrong? Now, again, due respect, I wouldn't say that right now you can say they're getting it wrong.
They're 5-2.
And there's a lot of season left. I mean, if they win 3 games down the stretch, are we going to say they're getting it wrong, or are we going to say there's progress?
No, but they would not say if they go 8-4. You'd say there's progress, but this was a
big setback,
major setback in terms of what we're saying is progress this year.
It's hard to sell. That's another problem with 56-7. It's really almost impossible to sell the notion of progress. And it's not just to us, to the stool, to the fan base, but to recruits. I mean, that's the thing that Rule's got to battle now. I mean, you can't really sell it right now. Now, what if they go to Ohio State and win, you know, or push them? Then, I don't know. All I'm saying is you don't want to go too overboard in that conversation, right?
I think the location of schools is a concern for the fan base of that Iowa State's 9th or 8th in the country right now, in the middle of Iowa.
Yep.
With NIL, it doesn't match. Everything doesn't match. Kansas State, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that you're in the Little Apple. It's really hard to get to Manhattan, Kansas.
And you
see their product on the field, which has been, product on the field. He's won the Big 12.
He has.
He won it with Oklahoma and Texas in the league.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, they won it when they were in the league. He won the Big 12. So that's a part that I think for fan from the texter. That I understand where we could have some pushback.
Oh, 100.
Yeah. So I don't think anybody that's upset right now should be criticized either. If I'm the fan base, they're upset. Yep,
should
be upset. So
they're paying a lot of money, and
also be happy they're upset because some places they're not that upset.
Right,
there are some places that they're not upset, and you want to have a fan base that is so dialed into that. But that is a But I understand with what he's saying because of the success of some of the programs that are somewhat local that you would say don't have the same resources.
Just got a text from Jared in Nashville on the text line.
Nashville.
Bill has addressed this before, so it's a good question. He says, Bill, you always have talked about where week eight, remarking what the football team is. Well, what are we? What is Nebraska as we enter week eight right now?
It's right. That's about right. This is when your stats start to become real because you can have things go either way or all of a sudden you play certain teams and now your stats start to become real with it. So it is a hard way to tell. The one thing that still... In my mind, you mentioned that potentially Nash had potentially an injury. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember, and I don't see every snap like you guys do, because I'm flipping around watching multiple games. I don't even remember the last time that I saw the training staff come out on the field for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. There was a player on the field down.
I mean,
you just don't see it. I mean, they're healthy. Remarkably healthy right now.
Which is good. Now, here's the thing you ask. This is the way I'd respond to that question.
Okay.
This is a critical question right now. What is Nebraska's strength? What is Nebraska's strength as a team?
Well, before Saturday, you would have said the rush defense was a strength, and they gave up 5 rushing touchdowns to Indiana. So
you would say the defense is a strength.
Out the window.
That's the troubling thing to me is because going into that game, I kept saying, well, Nebraska's got a good defense and a good quarterback. That's their strengths, a good defense and a good quarterback. And that's pretty good. You feel pretty good about that. Now, after this game, defense was terrible.
Yep.
I mean, it was terrible.
Horrible.
And the quarterback wasn't very good. But they still could be your strengths, but we have to table the elite defense conversation. There's no way that you can... You can't even say that they could become an elite defense this season, I don't think, because they just got beat. The result matters. An elite defense doesn't give up 56 points under normal circumstances. No injury, a lot of injuries. Weather was great. Yep. There's just nothing that you could, there's no mitigating factor here. You just can't say, I'm done with elite. I'm done with Tony White's going to be a head coach at Auburn. I mean, you got to be real about this stuff.
If I was a defensive coordinator in Nebraska, I'd be like, okay, what are your concerns? My first concern would be the tight end, Fedoni. I'm like, okay. So he's a strength. That's what I'm worried
about. For sure.
He had a good game.
What am I doing against Fedoni? Where can I have
career game.
What can I do? So that's a concern of mine. The next concern I'd have that I'd have a special 10-minute period on that I would be very nervous about is how much does Harburg come into the game?
Yeah,
because when he runs the football in the quarterback run game, really good.
Yeah,
and right now people are just like, we'll survive it. And he runs it for a play. We'll make sure we don't screw it up. And then Dylan comes back in the game.
His legs are live too.
Yeah, he's very fresh legs when he comes in the game. So I would be nervous. I'm not talking about a quarterback change. But I'm talking about all of a sudden this have a package, and all of a sudden he's in the game and he's at quarterback, and they have a series of plays. And there is a chance like that, especially in short yardage, different times, where it would be a big concern of mine.
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen from Early Break here to tell you about Cigars International. I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a little fall evening outside on the deck. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International has become my go-to. They have everything, whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new. Cigars International never disappoints. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on all your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every single order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. But it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they're giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping, when you use code early break at checkout. That's CIGARSinternational.com. Use promo code early break, all one word, at checkout, early break, for 20% off your purchase of $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want something new, Cigars International has you covered.
That would be something that I would be as a defense. I'd have a 10-minute period every day. How are we going to handle when number 10 comes in the game? What are we going to do to defend?
Fedoni, I think he had 6 catches for 91 yards.
That's correct.
Yeah. And that's a career game. You're right about Heinrich. I think that makes sense. Here's my question to you, and this is a layman question. When he comes in, don't they know he's going to run it now?
Yeah, but a part of it is, so you have to treat that when I talked about my Army-Navy, it's Air Force football now, or it's Navy football. And so you have to, and they're running a version of it. So that it's 11-on-11.
Yeah.
And if you play it in a one high concept or that, you're not gonna slow him down.
No,
you have to play some things remarkable.
And I will tell you, he can throw it.
Yeah. And he can throw it. Yeah. Also, that's what I'm saying. So there's a concern all the way around.
Yeah.
When he comes in the game, it would be, it's almost like on the third. If all of a sudden, hey, we're gonna get into 3rd-and-3 mode, and he's in the game. Hey. Chance of stopping him on a first down, especially if they decide they're gonna go 2 downs, really hard.
You hit on something critical. That'll be very interesting going forward. What his level of involvement is.
Well, how I would look at it, if I was sitting there with my staff at another school, I'd say, I said, the running backs carried the ball at 2 yards a clip. So, but when this guy comes in the game, so I would say, what are they going to do different? They're going to make this guy run the ball more. It doesn't do any good to put Harburg at running back. That's not where his skill set's at. His skill set's doing it from the quarterback position.
Like that. You get curious, don't you?
Be curious. But anyway, that's why. So I'd be like, hey, guys, we got to be really concerned about this. Well, we cannot let Fedoni have 8 or 9 catches.
Bill, here's the complication. And I agree with you. I like the idea of a package. And I've changed my tune on this because they're struggling offensively. So now here's the complication. Number 15 is your franchise.
No, so, it's just a. I'm not.
So saying, how much you take him off the field?
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to, but no.
No, I know you're not.
All I'm telling you is what would bother me as a coordinator.
Oh, I know. I know what you're saying.
I'm very bothered like that because in the quarterback run game, there's basically none with Raiola in the game as far as true quarterback run game.
Oh, I 100% agree with you.
So it changes just how defensively when you have numbers problems. That's when you get really concerned.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I understand. I totally understand where you're coming from. I just wonder how much you can take 15 off the field. I like the idea of running a Heinrich. Again, live legs, 8 games in. That's good.
I'm saying it just goes from 2 carries to 8 carries.
Ooh, okay.
2 carries to 8 carries. That would bother me as a defensive coordinator. I'd be very bothered.
100.
Going back to Dylan, again, his stats from Saturday, he was 28 for 44 for 234 yards, 3 picks, no touchdowns.
Right, 3 picks.
Yards per 2 attempt. 2 sacks. Yards per attempt. That's always you know.
Yards per attempt, it looks like it was about 5.5?
Not much. 2 picks in the red. 2 picks in the red zone. They're
5 or 6 yards per. Yeah.
Yeah.
6 yards per attempt.
He's had back to back rough performances. But again, though, see this is the Adrian Martinez discussion. We've established that they can't run the ball with their running backs very well. That puts pressure on him.
Sure.
You're not getting anything from your receivers on the perimeter. That puts pressure on him. Your offensive line is so-so. That puts pressure on him. I don't want to make this a big Dylan conversation when most things around him aren't going very well.
Okay, but as a coordinator, though, for your team, what can Marcus do differently? Because you can't just keep to Satterfield.
Satterfield. Well, again,
something's got to change here.
Well, again, there's a lot of people calling for Marcus Satterfield's head. I think you got to be fair, and I'm not getting into that conversation except to say what I just said also applies to your play caller.
Sure.
If your offensive line is just so-so, if you don't have much going on the perimeter from your receivers, and they don't, that's a problem. If you can't run the ball, if your running backs, what did we say they ran?
20 times for 49 yards.
20 times for 49. It's tough to call plays. I mean, what are you dialing up? You have to be fair in the conversation. Now, on the other hand, sometimes when you change coordinators, things get better. I remember the guy next to us when they changed coordinators. Was it 2021? Things got better immediately. So sometimes that change does matter. And I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying you have to assess it fairly. You have to assess it fairly. That's all I'm saying.
I'm also, like I said, that if there's a light at the end of the tunnel, it's that really bad things can create really good things. I'm telling you, if the game's just somewhat close, you're very happy right now. Oh, not really, not very happy. You're going, you know what? We're right there. They're really good. Mm-hmm. Had a chance. You know, so made a couple errors. We're okay. Then you're going into Ohio State, feeling pretty good. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're all right.
Good
okay.
enough.
Then all of a sudden, sometimes, like I said, rock bottom helps you more than
right.
anything.
So what you're suggesting is, you might think at, if you lost that game at Indiana 27-18 or 27-21 mm-hmm. or 28-20, we're good enough.
We're right there.
We're good enough.
We should have maybe beat on the road a highly ranked team, and we're so close like that. And sometimes having just the opposite happen, just to be, you know what? That was pretty evenly matched team. We just, all agreed with that, right? Roster wise, fairly evenly matched.
And Bill lays it out a lot. There's games where you think a team's done. There's teams that you think are done in a season, and 3 games later, we're talking about them.
It's like, what just happened?
Like Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of rose from the ashes.
They did.
Nebraska can rise from the ashes. This is a long season ahead, and it's probably not going to go well in Columbus. But if I'm Rule, I'm just trying to save the ship right now. I'm in full. We just got to. And you know what I'm trying to do too? Is take the emotion out of it. It's hard to do with kids. It should be easier to do with the grown-ups in the room. Just take the emotion out of it. Just be very clinical. This is what went wrong. This is what we have to do against Ohio State. This is what went wrong. This is what we have to do. Don't get all emotional. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'd be very clinical going forward. Because all around them, there's going to be emotion.
Yeah.
There's going to be pissed off fans. Yep. Yeah. Kids on campus are going to say stuff. They do it. But in the building, you just have to treat it in a very clinical, kind of non-emotional sense, which is easier said than done, especially for the kids, players. Not all of them are kids, though, by the way. Ty Robinson's not a kid. He's not a kid.
24? Is that all he is?
Yeah. I mean, the average age of what I say the other day, the average age of the offensive line is 22.5. They're not all kids.
They're experienced.
Yeah.
They're old.
Nine seniors, right, on defense?
Nine seniors. They've started nine seniors. So it's not a young – that's the other thing. It's not a young team. Not a young bunch of guys playing. Now, there's a lot of freshmen on the team. It's a weird team that way. There's a lot of freshmen and a lot of veterans. But they have enough veterans where it doesn't have to be, oh, they're going to crumble. No, it doesn't have to be that at all. What do you got there? Applied connectivity?
I saw a text before. Sanderson has chimed in. Sanderson says, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's Jake's Amtrak coming right at you. Come on. That's dark, Sanderson. It's dark.
Jake's Amtrak.
Wow. Before we get to break, the three words that suck in IT are what, Bill?
I've been hacked.
Bad. Bad words. Bad words. That's curse
They're
words
funny,
right
though.
There.
They're funny.
That won't happen
They're
with
funny
Applied Connective Technologies. It's Nebraska's preferred tech partner in all 93 counties of this state. They do everything from managing IT and cybersecurity, phone systems, physical security, infrastructure, audio, video, and more. One-stop shop. Go to AppliedConnective.com or call them at 866-358-0109 for a free consultation today.
Thank you. Those guys,
they're good people.
I talked to Will, and he said, yes, we are managing the election, but we still have free time to meet with you. So if you want to have lunch and talk about how the election was being secured.
What are they managing?
Fraud. Fraud. Yeah, how about
voter
that word?
Voter fraud?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
All types of
voter
fraud.
Better times.
Better times.
Apply Connect when we get back. We'll look at the Big Ten next early break in the ticket. Here we are.